agency is an active thought leader in social practice, developing award-winning architectural projects and urban strategies at a variety of scales. The practice draws upon the partner's extensive experience in architectural construction, fabrication, education, and independently directed research. Agency currently has several projects underway, including their upcoming Feral Federation show at the Rubin Center, which opens on Wednesday, October 5th, and a selfie wall installation at Chalk the Block. Here to tell us more about Agency are agency partners Ursula Krippa and Stephen Mueller. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Good morning.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you all have been really busy this summer.
Yes.
Seems like an understatement.
Right. Yeah.
We have, yeah. We started the summer in a residency at the Berlin Biennale, which is actually where some of the ideas for Feral Federation first took root. We were working with a group of artists and activists, hackers, and other thinkers from around the world that kind of converged at the Berlin Biennale to put together what they called a civil secret service society. We contributed to this project our ideas of the Feral Federation. We were developing a kind of research database in this growing constellation of what are known as feral cities.
And so what constitutes a feral city?
So a feral city, this is a term that's been kicking around for the last decade or so, maybe under the radar in military theory and increasingly popular culture. But a feral city could very quickly be designated as a city that operates outside of the rule of law. So it is a city where perhaps a militia or a paramilitary or a terrorist organization might have taken over control of the city from the municipal government. But it might also be a city where a humanitarian organization or an NGO has stepped in to pull together law and order.
Something kind of like the refugee camps would qualify as a feral city?
Yeah, yeah. Right. So refugee camps, part of the exhibit will illuminate, I guess, a growing group of terms and terminology that might be synonymous with the feral city. So I mentioned cartel city and paramilitary city, but pirate havens and
no-go zones,
refugee camps, no-go zones, exclusionary zones, things like this might be kind of proxies for what we're considering feral.
And what you all have done is gathered a collection of these feral cities, and that's what we'll be seeing at the Rubin Center?
Right. We've pulled together from a wide variety of sources, including military documentation, but also Twitter feeds from the State Department and popular press, an idea of sort of the state of ferality globally today, which by our records anyway, this is the first time this has been done. A lot of the professional discussion about feral cities and the military discussion has been rather anecdotal and based sort of place by place. So we're trying to just get a sense of the vast extent of this growing geography. And the idea here is that we're trying to imagine a world as the feral city imagines the world, as kind of post-national, that the national boundaries that collect these feral cities are no longer relevant for the cities themselves. And you'll see in our maps that the constellation of cities sort of spreads throughout the world. One of the really interesting aspects of the feral city, according to the military theory anyway, is that a feral city can only exist if it operates within a functioning state. And so there's a dialogue anyway between a functioning state and a failed city.
Is it because they need something to rebel against in order to exist?
Yeah, that right. Might be. But one of their characteristics is that they rely on themselves and they rely on each other to develop their own post-national economy. So they are self-sufficient. And you can think of perhaps like cartel networks or pirate networks and the cities that are involved in them as new kind of autonomous forms of government that don't respect national boundaries.
What are the closest feral cities to us or feral areas?
Well, it seems as though from our research, some of the cities that we're also very interested in would be Ciudad Juarez, Nuevo Laredo. And so it seems as though this idea of the southern part and of our U.S.-Mexico border seems to be host to these kinds of cities that might have other types of governance at play beyond their sort of the standard government form that we understand.
So something like Juarez, you know, you see areas of the city where you're like, okay, this is a developed city. It's a large city. and then there's subsects outside, and then you think, okay, this is definitely feral. Yeah. So where do they draw that line, or how does that work when working under the overarching theme of being a feral community?
That is a great question, and it's very much at the heart of the research and of the exhibition. We are working with a sort of a data scraping specialist in San Francisco, and the idea is to actually really mine the data and the categories that are essentially culled in order to classify an environment as feral. And so we're trying to understand anywhere from the materiality of a space, so aerial photography that shows rubble, the extent of the rubble might be the boundaries of the feral territory, but also beyond that, looking at the Twitterscape and social media, activist groups and blogs, and looking at where they establish a territory as feral. It might be even just like the space of like the Tahrir Square space, the space of a public plaza that sparks a certain kind of ferality or becoming feral. And so the boundary seems to shift in relationship to the different scapes that we're looking at. And so this is an ongoing project. So part of the hope here is to kind of figure out, how do we even set up these boundaries, or what does that mean,
And we should say one of our interests in this term is the negative connotation that comes along with it. And so what the exhibition is trying to promote is an understanding of these feral territories as areas of the world that might have been designated feral by outside analysts, by military experts or by the popular press, but that might be better understood through the lens of the local population or through the lens of sort of more on-the-ground data as perhaps not feral at all.
Right, because it's somebody's home.
Exactly.
I mean, it's home to someone.
Exactly. So part of our intention in creating the Feral Federation is to create a dialogue between these cities, which have all been designated feral or might soon be designated as feral, in order that they might find some common ground. One of the issues we see with this term is that it's often paired with environments that might soon be targeted for, let's say, intervention by either military or humanitarian organizations. And so as the term gets used in the press or in military documentation, we're concerned with what effects that might actually have on local populations in the future.
So. Have you found that these are maybe at some point were unwanted areas, and then as soon as somebody comes in, all of a sudden they become wanted?
So wanted in terms of development or in terms of people wanting?
I suppose,
wanting,
because you think of feral, and it makes you think, okay, well, there probably won't be a department store there. but, kind of when you talk about infiltration of cities and, artists come in, they make a place cool, and then all of a sudden, the communities move on. Being feral, is that just even way outside of that kind of perception? Or
there are basically, and the essential text on ferality goes back to 2003. Richard Norton is a former naval commander that teaches at the Naval War College, and he designated basically three categories of feral cities, all of which tend toward disorder, decay, and potentially violence, right? So this is maybe beyond the kind of edge neighborhood and into more insecure territory. But what's interesting to us is his original three designations in 2003 ended with the most feral category he could think of was basically tipping feral, right? Soon to be feral. Mm. And the city that he imagined as fulfilling that criteria across a wide range of like socio and economic factors was something like Mogadishu in Somalia, which, at
very
the time
tumultuous.
Was very, very much ruled by warlords and was embroiled in kind of famine and war. Since then, other scholars have picked up his work and have designated two other categories of feral. So we're not only tipping feral now, they say that we have reached cities that are actually feral. And they say that we also have cities that are beyond feral, so cities that have reinstitutionalized along the lines of criminal enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And what concerns us is that some of these cities that get designated in the extreme feral category are cities that we wouldn't expect to see on the list. So Detroit, St. Louis, New Orleans in the time of Hurricane Katrina, are all cities that get this kind of new designation. And so, again, that leads us to sort of question the power of this term and the kinds of data that go into describing cities in this way.
Well, and that's kind of why the map that you all have there is interactive, and it comes and goes as right. as cities shift in and out of this area.
The idea for the map in the exhibition is that it's a growing database, and it's constantly changing and shifting in relationship to trends and maybe even sort of like social unrest. So when Stephen's mentioning this idea that maybe St. Louis or Detroit might be considered feral, that is related to movements like Black Lives Matter and things like that. And so there is this kind of changing landscape that we're hoping that a map that is constantly also changing with the landscape can stay as up to date and can kind of start to talk to us about patterns of you know, where are these cities? Is it the global south? Are these cities within major, you know, sort of developed areas? We're growing the map so that the patterns can tell us something.
It's hard to tell what they're going to tell you, right? Because you see Detroit, you hear Mogadishu, and somehow they all fall under this feral umbrella. So either the umbrella keeps growing or we find a new category.
Right. Yeah. And I think part of the definition is that these spaces or the basic definition of feral is that something has to have been first domesticated and then it has to be able to propagate and survive in the wilderness. And so that's kind of the background or the backbone of ferality. So we're looking at cities that at one point were functioning as sort of cities as we understand civilized cities to function, and then how they've kind of evolved outside of governmental rule and found their own order.
Thank you all so much for touching on Federal Federation. We didn't even get to talk about your selfie wall at Chalk the Block. Will you tell us just a little bit about that
yes.
before we sign off?
Selfies around the world every day are kind of gathered by data analysts and governments and military in order to measure cities anywhere from like cities' happiness or cities' tourism and other factors. And so when we're taking a selfie without knowing, most of the time we're uploading it somewhere to kind of build our own social database. But that kind of fish recognition software that's out there can actually gather data about a specific environment where we took the selfie. And so our interest with the selfie wall is in perhaps partnering with a digital wall in front of the museum and to understand or to help project this idea that as harmless as the selfie seems and or as much as we think it belongs to us, it actually can be recategorized into ideas about metrics of measuring specific, you know, happiness levels or economic indices in cities. So the selfie wall is as much a fun and kind of selfie space as much as it is a kind of a critique and a project of awareness of what is actually happening with our social photography.
Right, because I think you're going to see a spike in selfies from this area yes, coming from your fabulous
hoping.
Wall. On the surface, it's going to actually, you know, kind of help toward providing an environment for the perfect selfie.
Right, exactly.
Exactly, yeah, and we hope exactly that it does that. So it just technically, it's this custom fabricated wall that's modulated in order to provide all sorts of different natural and artificial lighting conditions. So
right.
you can find your place in the wall that flatters your selfie the best.
As you give it to the data lords.
Exactly. So, you know, and honestly, there aren't public spaces that are dedicated to the selfie, at least not here in El Paso. And so we're interested in just bringing that as a social event as well.
Very cool. And I think both of these events kind of do that because they're both fun, they're both interactive. And then on the background, there is some real stuff happening back there. So it's nice for you all to make some hard data seem very just kind of user-friendly to us. So
right.
hopefully it makes us think a little bit more before we take our selfie.
We hope so.
Thank you so much. Today, my guests have been Ursula Krippa and Stephen Mueller of Agency. We look forward to seeing your show at the Rubin Center that begins on Wednesday, and then your selfie wall at Chalk the Block. Thank you so much.
Thank you.